Great to be with you once again on the Coca-Cola cooldown. We've just seen Tasmania square away the series at 82-77. A big win tonight over Melbourne United, Derek Rucker. It was like a jungle inside my State Bank Arena. I can't remember an atmosphere like it. And I've got to say, halfway through the third quarter, 15 points down, I thought the Jack Jumpers were gone.
I was with you, and I was thinking sweep. I was thinking we're going to go back to Melbourne on Sunday. United are going to handle their business. And kind of undeservedly, the Jack Jumpers are going to get swept straight out of this series. But it didn't work like that. They found a way to manufacture some defensive rhythm, some continuity in stopping Melbourne United from getting good looks. They weren't great offensively, but they were just ticking over the scoreboard enough to manufacture points and start to grow in confidence, where they became threatening by the end of the third quarter. And then when it came down to the fourth quarter, Melbourne United had totally dried up on the offensive end. Yep. They could not get a bucket. I think they went 8 minutes and only scored 8 points in the fourth quarter. Jack Jumpers defense won them this basketball game, and now they are squarely back in this series incredulously.
Not often that teams hold a Melbourne United offensive unit to 77 points.
Not the way they've been cooking in the playoffs. We saw them regularly working at a high efficiency rate in that Illawarra series, putting up high 90s in regulation, then going into the hundreds. They played very well in game one of this championship series at John Cain Arena, where they put up 104 points, I believe. And they've just looked so crisp. And Chris Golding was playing really well in this game. He had a great first half. He was off to a flying start. And they won the first 5 minutes of the third quarter. They came out of the halftime break focused and determined. And all of a sudden, it just changed. I'm not sure I've seen a series change so suddenly as we've seen right here. And now the key is that a lasting thing for the Jack Jumpers?
Well, you've almost took the words right out of my mouth. What happens next in terms of Tasmania? So game one, they were pretty disappointing. I don't think there's any hiding that. Even in the second quarter, it had shades of game one where Melbourne were getting on top. What does a win like that tonight and a performance like that in the back end of that game, what does that do for them going into Sunday?
Well, there's nothing like winning. I don't care what people say about all the other superlatives. Winning cures everything. It creates and breeds a confidence amongst the team that you can't find through any other method. Coaches can say whatever they want to say, but winning is the key. Yep. And now the Jack Jumpers have done that. They put some doubt in Melbourne United's head now. I said just 5 days ago, everyone was thinking that this is Melbourne United's series. Guess what? Melbourne United are now under immense pressure to win game three. Jack, they can't afford to come back down here losing on Sunday, being down 2-1 and trying to steal a game four here in Tasmania. That is not a task anybody wants.
I'm not sure you can win here. I shouldn't shut that off so conclusively like that, but trying to win in this place in an atmosphere like it was tonight, that's not going to be easy.
They played 25 minutes of outstanding basketball. I thought they were really good, Melbourne United, and it just wasn't enough. And I'm not sure when you come back here, how you address that and what you do, because I think the next time the Jack Jumpers are going to be even more confident on this court. The next time their crowd is going to be more bonkers.
Yeah. How is that possible?
I don't know. This place, like, you hear about it, but when you actually get down here, it's a totally different thing. And obviously, you know, I've seen a lot of different venues, but this place is special, and I can see why these players and Scott Roth are so enamored with this community and this venue.
Key moment in the game was Matthew Dellavedova's unsportsmanlike foul. We've had a chance to look at some replays. It's going to be replayed ad nauseum. United fans certainly not happy about it. What did you think of the call?
Did not love it. If there was a sports czar, a sports commissioner who could just phone in and overrule everything, I wish he would have called in and said, that's just a regular foul. Let's go to the line, shoot two free throws. It takes a bit of the drama and punch out of the game. It sucks the air out of the building when we have to sit there and review. And I know it's necessary, but I just wish it wouldn't be the case. I didn't think the foul was deserving of that. Let's play on. Let's not even go to the review.
few contentious ones, I think, at the back end of that game. But it wasn't the difference between winning or losing because Tasmania was superb. The rebounding count, Scott Roth put that on the agenda before the game. They were minus 15 in game one, Tasmania. It was a clear focus for them tonight.
Yeah, and even though they turned the ball over a bit more than I'm sure Scott Roth would have liked, the fact that they dominated on the boards made up for that. There wasn't a great disparity in shots attempted, and both field goal percentages dropped significantly in the second half. And I think Scott Roth would take a lot of confidence going into Sunday's game. He's got some things I believe he found on the offensive end and the defensive end that might help them win. Melbourne, now, we know that they're not going to play that poorly the rest of this series. We're not going to see that again. I can guarantee you, we are not going to see that final 15 minutes of basketball that we saw from them in this game, okay? So they're going to lift, and now this is the beauty of basketball because it's just not a one-off game. You got to continue to deal with the ebbs and the flows and the challenges, not only within game, but from game to game.
Let's talk about Jordan Crawford's night, which, I mean,
it ended early, Jack.
There was high highs and low lows. In the first quarter, he had 13 points. He looked like a man on a mission. And then we virtually didn't see him in the fourth quarter.
I think Jordan played well. He had some turnovers that were careless, but were it not for Jordan's contribution in the first quarter and a bit of the second quarter, the Jack Jumpers may have been in worse position. And I think he did enough in this game in the first quarter to draw some confidence and feel good about himself going into game three. Look, make no mistake about it, they got this game without him down the stretch, but they're going to need him, Jack.
Yep.
And he has to be able to play a solid 25 to 30 minutes of point guard play. However, Sean McDonald coming in and delivering today gives Scott Roth a viable option again. McDonald learned a lot, I believe, today. He made some good plays. Things got a little bit shaky there down the stretch. But overall, you know, he gets a B-plus for his performance, and he definitely contributed significantly to this W.
How important were Milton Doyle and Jack McVay down the stretch offensively?
I wasn't over-enthused about their productivity, but it was the fact that they believed in themselves again. They had pop, they had bounce, they wanted the basketball. They were seeking it and they were looking to make plays. And I think that's what's more important going forward in this series. They'll knock down more shots as the series goes along, but I think, you know, the coaching staff would be delighted that they seem to have found their mojo.
From Melbourne's point of view, Chris Golding was excellent.
Yep.
How and why did it dry up at the back end of the game? Would that be the conversation for Dean Vickerman in the change rooms right now?
You know what I think was a huge play? The double foul, where JLA picks up his third foul. I thought that was massive. That totally changed the complexion of the game and how he was able to paint the picture for Melbourne United. He was dominant in game one. And I think when he's on top of his game, the Jack Jumpers struggle. Even Will Magne struggles to contain JLA. But JLA's foul trouble really opened up the floor. He couldn't really defend there in some stretches of the third and the fourth quarter. And of course, they lose his offensive contribution because while Haporti is a very good basketball player, he is not of the elite offensive skill set that JLA is.
So we head to Melbourne on Sunday. What we do know is that we will be back here on Easter Thursday for game four, regardless of where the series stands. Talk to us about Sunday.
Can't wait. It's sold out already. Obviously, the F1 is going on beforehand. What a weekend in Melbourne. Oh. You got the F1 Sunday at 2, then you come over to JCA at 5:30. The place will be absolutely popping. Now, how did Melbourne United get that game? They got to play more consistently on the offensive end, get back to what was working in game one. I think they will. The Jack Jumpers are going to have to lift, though. This type of performance is not going to be enough in Melbourne to get a win.
Who's got momentum right now? Do you want an easier question?
Who has momentum? That's a fantastic question. I still slightly have Melbourne having the momentum. But also, with that momentum comes added pressure. They're under extreme pressure for Sunday's game.
Cannot wait for Sunday. Game three in the championship series at John Cain Arena. As Ruck said, it is sold out. It is going to be an enormous afternoon. 5:30 start as well. We'll see you there.
See you there, Jack.
Thanks for being with us on the Coca-Cola cooldown. We'll catch you at the end of game three.